Yo, 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 Thought Warriors.
It's Higher Learning. It's I,
let them know.
It's
I, Rachel Lindsay.
Rachel Lindsay, Van Lathan. Okay, before we even get started with the podcast today, Thought Warriors, I want everybody to do something really quickly. I feel like I'm feeling really zen because I just came from acupuncture, which I'll talk about.
Wow, I've never done that before.
I did it. I did acupuncture.
First time?
First time ever.
Oh.
First time ever. First time ever. We'll talk about it in a second. But before we even talk about that, I want everybody to stop. I'm serious about this. Center themselves for a second. Take a deep breath in. And then a deep breath out. Breathe, everyone.
Oh, inhale, exhale. This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. You could be doing anything this week, right? You've got work, errands, friends, and a whole lot of fun in between. That's why the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the capable SUV that's built for your life. With premium interiors, available wireless charging, and room for your whole cargo and crew. Okay, Hyundai. Visit HyundaiUSA.com to learn more about the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe.
Everyone, I say that because everyone is so arrested right now. Everyone is so wound up. I watched CNN all day long yesterday when the motherfucker from CNN, shout out John King, didn't say one fucking thing different the whole day. Hey, these are the counties where it's coming into these counties right here. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden has a clear edge here and the ballots are going to come in, but got to count all the votes. Okay, take this down. Now we're going to go over here. This is Philadelphia County. Now, here's the game. President Trump got out to a large lead here. We all saw that. But as the ballots have been coming in, that lead has been eroding. How much is that lead going to erode? We don't know. We don't really know. That's one of the things that's going to decide the president. Okay, take that off the map. Now, let's go down to Arizona. We're going to zoom in on Maricopa County. Maricopa County is where a lot of these ballots are coming in
right now.
Now, like we said before, the president is a little bit behind right now. But as these votes have come in, you've seen that lead shrink. How much is it going to shrink? Don't know. Got to count the votes. And I watched this nigga say this all day long
but
yesterday.
You can't help it.
And I'm like, so at some point, I'm saying we got to breathe and let things go for a second, right?
As you say that, and I'm still, I got the TV on mute, and I thought I just saw something different and I can't help it. I just keep thinking I'm going to miss the moment when something turns and something happens, because it did happen. It's already happened to me. We can get all into this later. Like, okay, we can get all into this later, but no, I, you're right. We all need to take a beat. We need to take a break and just chill out for a second, because we'll know when we know. And I do think it's funny that you named that county, because there's certain counties that we keep hearing over and over again. Maricopa, Fulton, Gwinnett.
What do you mean? Like, we're talking about Atlanta's Fulton County District.
Gwinnett,
right here.
Gwinnett as well.
Gwinnett, these are traditionally blue counties, Democratic strongholds. Now, when you look up here around this area, President Trump does have some votes that can come up from around these counties up here. But we're still looking at the bulk of the votes, maybe around 60,000 votes that have to come in from this Fulton County area. If they come in at the rate that we've been seeing them come in over the past couple of hours, Donald Trump is in some troubles. But we have to count the votes.
Man, they should hire you. Somebody sign this man up.
But you don't understand is I watched it all day
I did too.
Long.
I did too. And I went back and forth. It's been Fox, CNN, and a little bit of MSNBC. Normally that's my go-to, but I've been keeping it on Fox more than anything. Maybe because the numbers are more favorable to Biden.
Right, because
on
they
Fox.
Called Arizona. Right. I have a question for you. How was your Tuesday night?
Wow, it ended a little earlier than I thought. So I actually had to podcast on Tuesday. And okay, for a second, I thought we had breaking news. Should you let people know what we're going to do throughout this podcast? Because
Yes, we will. Throughout this podcast, if there is any update on the election itself, we are going to let you guys know. We are podcasting right now at around 12:45, actually closer to 1 right now. on the 5th, on Thursday. So as things come in, obviously the election itself and who's going to be the president, it's fluid. It's fluid. So up to the minute, up to the hour stuff, what's the reality at the beginning of this podcast may not be the reality at the end of this podcast. And it certainly might not be the reality by the time you are listening to this podcast, if that's Friday in the middle of the day or Friday later or today, or God forbid you get to it Saturday, the whole country might change. So we're going to be letting you guys know anything that breaks in the middle of it. Our producers are just going to jump in and let us know.
Yes. So what was the question that you asked me? Oh, my Tuesday night, night. So I actually had to podcast until 6:45. It really went to 7 Pacific Standard Time. So I had the results on or as the election was starting, but I couldn't hear anything. So I was seeing things trickle in, but I was podcasting. Once that was over, actually even before it was over, I was drinking quite a bit of wine. Mm. I needed to relax. I needed to just be very zen while watching everything. I fell asleep around 10 on the couch. Passed out is probably the better word to use. Woke up at midnight and I saw that it's pretty much what we're seeing now, except Michigan and Wisconsin were red when I woke up at midnight. And I went back to sleep thinking Trump is going to win this whole thing. And I can't believe it that Trump's going to win. I just forced myself to go back to sleep. I woke up the next day and then I was shocked to see the things that happened. But you asked about Tuesday night, so we'll just keep it there. It was a pretty simple night, but I did go to sleep thinking Trump won. And I will say this too. I also was looking at all the votes that were coming in, and we know that records have been broken. Is that the correct way to say that? We've broken records. Am I using the verb in the correct way?
Yeah. What are you talking about? What's going on with you right now? Yeah. What's happening? Yes. You broke records have been broken. We've broken records.
I don't know
yeah.
why it just sounded wrong. It came out and it sounded. Forgive me. It came. I didn't get acupuncture this morning. So I might be a little bit more tightly wound than my co-host right now. Yeah, so forgive me. Anyways, I was looking at the numbers as they were coming in, and we all knew that more people had gone out to early vote than in the prior election. And we knew that there have been records that were broken in regards to that. But I thought because of that, wasn't expecting a landslide either way, but I did expect things to be more definitive than they are right now. And I'm shocked with as many people that voted. And that's what the thought also that I went to sleep thinking, as many people as that voted. I cannot believe this many people still voted for Trump. I can't.
Yeah.
That was overarching thought when I went to sleep that night. I can't believe this.
White men broke hard for Trump.
So do Latinos.
White men broke hard for Trump. Well, depends. We have to watch the term Latinos. Because Latinos...
Okay, because why?
Because Latinos in Florida... Because the term Latinos, to me, the term Latinos... lumps a bunch of differing cultural values, cultural ethics, and cultural backgrounds into one huge group. And it's very weird to do it. Like, Puerto Ricans and Cubans in South Florida vote different ways.
A lot of Latinos, but I guess...
That's what I'm saying. So it's very difficult to say. I think that when we're talking about whether or not Latinos broke for Trump, I think it's more helpful for us to talk about... And it's not to you. This is... talked about. It's more helpful to talk about specific groups.
The reason I say that is because it wasn't Cubans. The Latino vote in Texas was big in pushing Trump to win that state, and that's not Cubans.
I know, but the Puerto Rican vote in South Florida was huge for Biden.
So, but Cubans, it wasn't.
Right.
I know Colombians. It wasn't. But I mean, I understand what you're saying, but then you could also do that with each group, you know, like,
what do you mean?
Okay. Blacks. Okay. Blacks. But maybe there were a lot of Nigerians voted one way. Maybe, but we're all black. You know what I mean? African Americans voted another way. Do you see, like,
it's not quite the same though. I mean, I'm not saying that there's homogeneity amongst Black political thought, far from it. But what I would say is that when you talk about there's specific experiences. First of all, numbers wise, when you talk about Latinos, you have big swaths of numbers, and those people are almost directly tethered to the specific areas that they live in, right? Mm-hmm. And they're also specifically tethered to the experiences of the areas that they live in. You know what I mean? So there's definitely no homogeneity there. And I think in order to get a better view of the electorate going forward, you're going to have to speak to specific needs. And you can't just speak to Latinos as a gigantic group when there are subgroups in there that have specific different things and specific fears, to be honest with you.
That's Black people too. And we can talk about that later in the show.
I'm not saying it's not Black people, but I think that the term can be used broader when you're talking about Black America.
And I guess the reason it's hard for me to want to break that down and say Cubans did this and Puerto Ricans did this and Colombians and Nicaraguans did this. It's hard for me to say that, or Mexicans did this, because within those cultures, you can't say all Mexicans voted for, you know, in Texas voted for Trump. You can't do that. So I think it's just, that's why it's easier, my argument to my usage of the word, it's easier for me to say Latinos, because I can group more, I guess, cultures under the Latino.
But you can't, but my problem with it is, and I think that the Democrats need to seriously analyze this, is you can't campaign to Mexicans in East Los Angeles the same way that you campaign to Puerto Ricans in South Florida, or even Mexicans along the Rio Grande in Texas. I think you're missing my point.
I agree with that. Right. I'm just speaking as to there was a large turnout of Latinos that voted for Trump.
Right.
And if you watch or you read, that was a big reason as to why Trump won in Texas, or when people underestimated the Latino support for Trump in Florida. I guess that's more of what I'm saying.
They didn't estimate it at all.
I totally agree with you in the sense that you're right. You cannot campaign to them the same way and think of them all as one person. Wholeheartedly agree. That's not what I'm saying.
Right. I get it. Yeah. I want to make sure that because here's the issue with the left, and an issue that's not on the other side. Even though there is evidence to say here, based upon what happened Tuesday, that there is more diversity on the right than we might have thought that there was. You know, they're pulling in more groups than you would have thought that they were able to pull in. It's a fascinating phenomenon. But I think that...
We can talk about this in the show.
No, it is a fascinating phenomenon. No, go for it. What do you mean?
Why do you think it's so fascinating? Because I think it's the very thing that you said in not saying Latinos in a general term, and how you have to look at the subcultures within the Latinx community. And I think that if you pay attention to... I think what the Democrats have done is assumed because you're a minority, you're going to vote blue. And that's an assumption that they've held on to too long. And that's not the same way that Trump and his administration campaigned to them. And so I guess I don't find it fascinating, because if you break down, you can't assume that Latinx people are going to vote blue when you look at some of the issues that are on the red side. And it really does fit in with a lot of the beliefs of the Latinx community. So to me, it's not as big of a phenomenon as you would think.
A couple of things. Number one, I don't think I am personally qualified to speak to the beliefs of the Latinx community. You probably can better than me, because, you know, you all Latinx out, you know what I'm saying? but I can't speak to that, but I can speak to sort of some political ideals, and I can speak to the reason why I think it's fascinating. It's fascinating because of the amount of time that it shifted. In 2016, Hillary won Miami-Dade by 30 points, something close to that. In this particular election, Joe Biden won Miami-Dade, obviously by 12 points, or maybe even less than that, maybe 7 or 8, and that wasn't enough. So it's fascinating because of the quickness in which it changed. The right's ability in this frame of time to add to their coalition voters who clearly weren't there in 2016. Mm-hmm. That to me is what makes it fascinating. It's fascinating that even amongst all of this turmoil, that to a degree, Trump and the right have been able to expand their base, even if it's only incrementally. They've been able to do that. And also, just to the point, the fact that Trump actually made his political career off calling people that were coming over the border rapists and murderers. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't seem that there would be very much fertile soil with a lot of different Latino groups for them to till. But obviously, there's more than we thought. So the reason why, and not just that, but, you know, Trump's courting of white supremacy and his inability to significantly rebuke white supremacy, all of those things like that, right? And all of those things. And yet still able to get a higher percentage of black male vote this time than he did last time. So I think the fascination with me is, you know, there's a lot of reasons that I've heard that there's an appeal there. But if the Democrats want to be, not just the Democrats, if the left, if they want to understand that, they really have to examine the reasons why that appeal seems, at least in some cultures, to have grown, in some different demographics to have grown. So, you know, it looks like Joe Biden will probably win the election. We'll give you an update on that really quickly. But still, it looks as if they made inroads in certain places. And I did not expect that. I certainly didn't.
So the reason I paused is because as we were talking about this, John Leguizamo just did something with the Hollywood Reporter where he explained the Latino vote.
Okay.
And why Trump, and I'm just trying to like scan it really quickly as I read it, but he says this is John talking, with Latino people, we're always an afterthought. And that gets, he's like, we're the largest ethnic group in America, the second oldest ethnic group in America after Native Americans. So it's not like we just got here. Nobody comes after us. Nobody knocks on our doors. Nobody's talking about our issues. Nobody has a Latinx vice presidential candidate or is dangling the carrot of Latins as cabinet members. Trump at least knew enough to target them. And that's what he got. He got back what he put in. And he says that he feels like Trump did a better job than Biden about going after the Latino votes, said he was aggressive about it. And he even kept saying it in his debates. He would mention the word Latinos. Biden never did. But he never talked about the Latino issues, and he never mentioned them. And he said, if you want us, you've got to court us. And Trump did that.
Obama put Sotomayor on the Supreme Court.
I hear you.
He didn't put a black woman on the Supreme Court.
The only reason I'm bringing him up is not because I'm saying I agree. It's because you said you wish that someone else could speak towards it. And this is somebody who's Colombian American, who's been very outspoken, who supports Biden's campaign and the Lincoln Project. And this is what his opinion is on it.
And look, I said what I just said, but I'm definitely not going to begrudge him his opinion and what he said. I think a lot of groups feel like that. I mean, Black Americans don't feel as if I know a lot of Black people that don't feel as if Biden was the Biden-Harris campaign targeted Black people enough. I think they could have gone harder. The reality of Joe Biden is that if Joe Biden is to win this election, mm-hmm. it'll be because Black people showed up for Joe Biden. Black people in Pennsylvania, right. In Philadelphia County, Black people in Fulton County, okay? I'm serious. Like, it'll be a bunch of different places where black people in Detroit, in Michigan, that showed up for Joe Biden, and at least in a lot of different places helped deliver this election to him.
Yeah.
Specifically even Black women. So I think it's very interesting. And this goes back to what I was going to say about the left. The left has a much more difficult needle to thread than the other side does. Because there is, even though the base is growing more diverse on the right, there's a level of homogeny there. The talking points have to be a lot simpler, right? You're not looking into the audience and seeing Black people on one side and transgender Americans on the other side and Latinx people in the front and then our other LGBT brothers and sisters in the middle and then everyone together. You're not seeing this hyper diverse coalition of people that you then have to understand how you thread them all together, right? What you're really doing is because there's less diversity there, right? You're giving big, broad talking points to a couple of different groups and stringing them together along economic or fear-based lines. One reason why things went the way they went in South Florida is because they used fear-mongering to make the people believe
absolutely
they were going to bring socialism back, which is their worst fear.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And rightly so for a lot of their relatives who, you know, Raul, Fidel, and Che executed.
Right.
So you know, it's an easier game to play on that side almost right. because the base is less diverse.
And because there is lower expectation on their part, right? You expect, oh, because you expect minorities to vote that way, they're also expecting a lot more from you. You're supposed to be the party of the people, our people. At least that's what has been put out there. So the expectation is high on the left side. Whereas for the right, there isn't much of an expectation. So if you just give a little bit, then that goes a long way. And you're seeing that with people. You're seeing, you know, when they talk to some Black voters for Trump, they're saying, well, hey, you know, the Democratic Party's, but you know, they've been with us 50, 60 years. We haven't seen anything happen. That's what these people are saying, which isn't really true, but that's what they're saying. I haven't seen much change. And this is what Donald Trump is promising to us. So why not try it his way? That's some of the things that people are saying. But I definitely agree with you on the fear mongering part with the socialism, with abortion. That's a big deal as well. And I think that one thing you have to give Trump and his administration credit for is the propaganda they put out there. And if not everybody is as well versed in policy and what's happening, what's going on locally or on a national level, and if you're just reading headlines or you're just watching the same thing over and over again, it's very easy for you to fall victim to the trap that they're setting with the propaganda and the rhetoric that they're putting out there.
Yeah. I mean, look, here, we say it all the time, man. There's nothing wrong with being a conservative. Actually, I think conservatism is good for America in a lot of different respects because, you know, you always want balance in a country of this many people. A country that's this big, you want balance. And, mm-hmm. you know, the left is going to have to find their balance in terms of how far they go and some of the things that they want to get done. If you left it up to guys like me, you have socialized medicine. You have, you have the whole fucking ball of wax. You have zero police. You have public safety commissions. You have all of it. Whoa. All of it, right? All of it. You have companies playing. But the reality is that those beliefs have to be contextualized and tempered by the other side of the thinking. So people that want to be more responsible fiscally. That's how you get to the magic word in any government, which is compromise. That's the magic word in any government. It's compromise. And it's just interesting. You know, it seems as if America loses the ability to compromise when Black and brown people are at the table. They've compromised on everything else historically, right? They compromised back in the day. There were guys known, Henry Clay, the great compromise. You know, they figured out all of this stuff, other stuff, right? They figured it out. They diced it up the way that they did. You know, there was one time where they really couldn't compromise and they had to get gully with the ratchets. We call it the Civil War. Gully with the ratchets. We call it the Civil War. But other than that, they find a way to come together and make these things work. But I think in the last 15, 20, 30 years, when Black and brown people and LGBT people are sitting down at that same table on both sides of the aisle, and they're like, okay, well, let's compromise. And some people are going, no, this is my country and blah, 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 blah. And we have to find a way to kind of build that back up. And also making sure that those people feel seen, man. I bet you, if you're from the Appalachians or Denham Springs, Louisiana, or places like that, there were definitely times during the Obama administration where you felt like, well, shit, it's a wrap for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes this dude that goes, no, it's all about you, America, MAGA. And you're like, fuck it. Well, like, you like, really? okay, you gonna fuck over me, but that's cool because you make me feel 10 feet tall. And we just
I mean, if you're listening to Trump, we should be running down the halls and clicking our heels and jumping up for joy that he might be the president, because he's done more for us than any president has done since Lincoln. So, and with the Platinum Plan, my gosh, the resources for us are limitless at this point, because he's going to get that passed when they can't even get a pandemic package passed, when the nation has its highest debt it's ever had before as a country. But somehow the Platinum Plan is going to get pushed through.
Oh, they won't talk about the debt, though. They won't talk about the debt.
Yeah, they won't talk about that.
The deficit, when the Democrat takes office, that's when you talk about the deficit. That's when you get the deficit down.
But you know what's crazy about
there'll be no talk about the deficit. Like, literally, you'll mention the deficit and what you'll get back from Mitch McConnell will be like, but like, see, day one, if Biden wins, day one, ha. Crazy spending, deficit all over the place.
Right?
You're like, the deficit's going to be the whole fucking story. Also, we should give you an update real quick. Just give
an update.
Of where the election stands. The election stands, depending on, let's go by CNN's numbers.
Depending on which channel.
Okay, I think CNN's numbers have it currently being right now 253 to 214?
213.
With Biden carrying Michigan, Wisconsin,
Cali,
all the big states. But in the swing states, he carried Michigan and Wisconsin, which kind of put him on the road to 270. Now, Fox and the AP have called Arizona for Biden, which seems to be controversial, to say the least. They're still counting votes there down in Maricopa County. And then Nevada is also a toss-up, although there was some recent numbers this morning that came in that show Biden expanding his lead in Nevada a little bit, okay? And you're still looking at late returns coming in Georgia, late returns coming in Pennsylvania, both states that look to be toss-ups. Pennsylvania, a lot of Democrats think, is going to be a win for Joe Biden, which would wrap the whole thing up.
Which is wild to me. I'm not saying I doubt it, but obviously, of the states left that are still up, Pennsylvania has the most electoral votes left. If Pennsylvania is called for Biden, this election is over with.
Right.
But there's also the biggest disparity between the two, but between Biden and Trump in with the four states that are left with Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, the disparity is just a little bit under 100,000. But somehow, I'm not sure how many votes are left to count. I saw a report earlier that said that they had halted counting, but I'm not quite sure what the update is at this
point. Nate Cohn from the New York Times says that Biden's going to win Pennsylvania by 3 points.
I mean, obviously, I hope he's right. But how many points?
By 3 points. He says Biden's going to win Pennsylvania by 3 points. He said yesterday that Trump has no path to win Pennsylvania.
Well, I mean, the reason I will believe that is because Rudy was there yesterday. Eric Trump was there yesterday. I don't know if they still are, but they are really in there trying to make their presence known. So maybe that is the case, which is why they're putting so much effort into Pennsylvania. Or because it's just close to New York.
Eric Trump was created on a weak nut, wasn't he?
Couldn't you say that about Donald Trump Jr. as well?
No, Donald Trump Jr. was probably just like it was an off night, probably. You know what I mean? It was just probably a night where you didn't. But Eric Trump, that was a weak nut. That was a dribbler.
I think you're giving the junior too much credit.
Donald Trump Jr. is more. Donald Trump Jr. is more your garden variety douchebag son of a rich guy. Eric Trump, that semen dribbled out.
Stop.
It barely made it. It barely made it to the finish line. Like, seriously, every time you see Eric Trump, I pray, I go, man, like, really, like, bro, shout out, man. Y'all really did it. Because I've never seen a glob of more uselessness than Eric Trump. It's like the nut was so weak that made Eric Trump
stop.
That it made his body stop trying once he was born. They were like, we don't have enough to keep this going.
I'm not even going to entertain this conversation.
It's like, we don't have enough, so we just going
to trying to make logic out of this.
Because every time you see him, he looks like a human ghost. Like, he's there, but he's not there. He looks like a he looks like he's just a big fucking flesh bag. And I don't
every
mean
time
to get...
I see him, he looks different. Doesn't he look like he's morphing? Like, I don't watch Harry Potter, but what's his name? Voldemort? You know how he changes his look constantly because he gets more evil and evil? That's kind of how I feel about Eric. He looks different every single time I see him.
Yeah, I mean, look. You know, it is what it is, man. Like the dude, every time I see Eric Trump, I'm like, look at this nigga. Like, who are you? Like, why are you? It pisses me off so. You know how many talented people, how many amazing, talented Americans should be on the television screen? I'm like, who is this? What the fuck is this guy doing? Barely
I think
nut
everybody
created
that.
Him. Like, literally, it probably wasn't even sticky. It was probably runny.
Stop. You know, barely even see him. Rudy was like, get off the stage. Also, when Rudy came in like this.
Tucking his shit in.
He came in with his hands in his pants. I said, look
Rudy
at Rudy.
Looking for
question. We have
Eric
seen
Trump
Joe Biden is currently
gums.
Addressing the nation right now.
Have you seen Eric Trump's gums?
No, because I'm not looking
this
at him that hard,
big,
man.
This nigga's gums are fucking huge. This nigga got big ass gums, bro.
Stop. I'm not even looking at him that
right,
hard.
I'm sorry.
Listen,
what are you going to say?
Biden is addressing the nation right now. Mm-hmm. How many times, real question, how many times have we seen Trump talk since Tuesday? Has he talked a lot? This is a real question. I really don't even know. Because I feel like every time I look up, Biden's addressing the nation.
Trump talked a little bit, but I there was a report yesterday that basically what Trump was doing was angrily calling governors in Arizona. And seriously, Arizona.
I do not doubt this.
And Georgia. And like, I guess trying to influence them in some way to take decisive action in the counting of the ballots. So, I mean, I don't know. You know, Trump, there's not much for Trump to say. Every time, everything he says is destructive. And really, the reality is this. He has no choice but to wait till these votes are counted. All of this stuff is prestidigitation of the highest degree. It's there's nothing he can do. The will of the American people will be played out through the electoral system, and we'll see who wins. But
he's already, you know, in some states threatening to sue and has already filed suit in at least one state, which... He can, right? Like he can definitely ask for a recount if there's a certain percentage between the two, which I believe will be done in either Wisconsin or Michigan. I'm not quite sure. I think Wisconsin. He can ask for a recount, but that never, I mean, it's like 10,000.
I don't think Wisconsin's in the recount, is in the recount margin.
It's about 10,000, I think, is the difference. It's got to be 1% or less, I believe.
Hmm.
I believe.
Anyway. Okay. You know, believe it or not, presidential politics was not the only thing that was on the ballot this past election season. I mean, I know that there's not been a lot of news for a couple of days. It's weird. We haven't talked about COVID in a couple of days because the election has dominated the news cycle.
Even though they set a record. They said 100,000, over 100,000 cases in a day. New record.
All right. Lots of election talk. And before we go deeper into it, let's catch our breath real quick. So I want to talk about that really quickly. So 100,000 cases in a day, new record. You haven't really heard about it. And I want everyone to take notice of that. And I'll tell you why. Because you think that news, and I worked in a newsroom, you think that news is reported to you based upon a need to know basis. Mm-hmm. You think that a lot of people think that, news is reported because there's something dire that you have to know. And everyone is Paul Revere, all of these networks running to the airwaves to tell you exactly what you have to do to stay safe and to save your life. I just want everyone to know that that's a lie. Okay. Because there are very few things that would be more important for Americans to know right now than 100,000 people died of COVID. That it's that bad.
Yeah.
Okay. What the news is like anything else. It's like what we're doing right here. It's commerce. And you hope that inside of that commerce, there is some integrity. Mm-hmm. But this is going to be the story until people care about something else. And by the way, it's the same thing with COVID. How many people are dying of COVID is going to be the story until people no longer care about that story and they care about treatments, vaccines, and things of that nature. So that ticker that's at the bottom of your screen in terms of the news wasn't even there until 9/11 because we had to know everything super duper fast all the time. So just know that. So that also kind of goes into how much you get triggered by watching the news.
I remember, and obviously you do too, is when COVID started, you couldn't, it was everywhere on your television screen. There was always a ticker. There was a tracker. We were constantly monitoring it. It was the story. It was the story over the story. I'm not even sure when, well, I do know when things changed. When Black Lives Matter protests started happening, that's when we started to see the COVID sure. talk change a bit. And it's never picked up the same way that it has since then. And I do think it's important that we recognize that that a new record was set with COVID cases, because you need to understand that this isn't going anywhere and it's not stopping. And I heard, mm-hmm. I think it was Al Sharpton or Joe Scarbo said this morning, but whoever wins the presidency, you got to really want to be president. Because what is happening right now in our country, whether it's the economy, whether it's public health, whether it's social injustice, the racial divide, it is not going to be easy to be the president. And we're talking just about the election right now, but there is so much that's happening in our country that you need to be aware of, that whoever is stepping into this role is really going to be taking on a lot. And so I do think to go along with your saying, it is important to recognize it. And it'll be interesting how the news changes once there is a president, and how it, we'll talk about things. Like we joked about the deficit, but it is true. It will be mentioned. It will be talked about. And so will other things. And whoever is going to step into this role needs to be prepared to take that on, and how they're going to make this country better. And you need to understand it's not going to happen overnight.
To your point.
Mm-hmm.
To everything you just said about how hard the job is going to be over the next couple of years, over the next couple of months, and how taxing it's going to be. To your point, I predict that Harris will be president by summer 2022.
2022? Mm-hmm. You think Joe's gone?
Not gone. Not well. I'm not saying that Joe is going to, you know, expire.
Well, what are you saying?
I think Joe is going to step away. I think
how does that work?
I think I really do.
Do you just resign?
I think Harris is president by summer 2022. Serious. It's a big job.
It's a lot.
Joe is more than capable. But I mean, and if that were to happen, you know, like that'll do, pig. You know, like Babe. You never saw Babe?
Stick to what you were talking about.
Anyway, like if that it still would be monumental for Joe to come in and have done what he did.
Yeah.
But I think you're looking at a very non-traditional president vice presidential relationship that's going to have to exist, because her energy, her gusto, her expertise in a lot of different areas is going to be absolutely critical in mm-hmm. navigating what America's up against right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be a big deal. Now, okay, so Democrats were able to keep a House majority. The GOP did pick up some seats. They picked up yeah. some seats. It's close in the Senate. The Senate might actually come down to two potential runoffs that could happen in Georgia. Warnock, our boy.
We got to have him on.
Got to have him on. Made a
Old
runoff.
Rev.
He's going to be in a runoff against Kelly Loeffler. Loeffler? Loeffler? Loeffler?
We don't have to get that right.
And then John Ossoff, one of my favorite people, is in a race against Purdue down there. That looks like that's going to go to a runoff. That's probably going to happen there in Georgia. So, you know, the numbers don't look great for the Democrats right now in terms of taking the House. But if they were to grab those two seats, which is not a fucking fantastic chance that happens, but if they were to grab those two seats, then you'd have a tie in the Senate with Kamala Harris, future president, casting the deciding vote. Also, police reform was on the ballot in a lot of different places. Measure J was passed in Los Angeles, which was a sort of victory with the defund the police movement. You'd say that, wouldn't you?
I absolutely think it is. And I think it's something that other cities can look at and model to try to get on their ballots for the next time.
Right. Also, it looks like Jackie Lacey, the district attorney of Los Angeles, who was fucking hated by Black Lives Matter, it looks like she's going to lose that race. She's down. It looks like she's going to lose it. Question. Do you think that the Democrats, the left, need to slow down on embracing ideas like defunding, abolishing? Do you feel like the party, part of the wave that we saw, because there was a blue wave, but there was a smaller red wave that's keeping things interesting right now. Do you think that the Democrats, that the sharp move to the left that's happened inside the Democratic Party is scaring Americans? Do you think it's scary to them?
This is a good question. I don't think that's what's scaring them. I think that it is the red, the right side, using it as propaganda to scare them, right? Because the right is calling Joe Biden a socialist who could not be more moderate. You guys, this is what Joe is known for. Is for crossing lines and getting things done. That's like his claim to fame in the Senate. He is very moderate. He could be the farthest thing from a socialist. But I think what has happened is they have taken moments. I saw it. I cannot remember what Senate hearing this was, but they put together a video of police. It might have been Fauci. It might have been a Fauci hearing. They put together a video of protest and they only showed rioting. And that is how they depicted what is happening with the Black Lives Matter movement in this country. If that is all you saw, then you're scaring those people. So I don't think it's I don't think it's the left taking this like sharp turn. I think it is the right taking from it and changing what it really is.
No, you're right. I mean, to be honest with you, I agree. I do think there's a way that you do sort of navigate the political landmine of what that is, though. The messaging from the Democrats, the messaging, look, it's interesting. There does have to be a change in the communication. And how you communicate people, because it can be sometimes frustrating to get people to adopt policies that you know would help their lives. But, you know, you still got to do the work. And the fact that this was not a blowout tells me that there's something that's not quite. And by the way, it wasn't a blowout in that the night ended early. It still might be a significant victory. You don't know. Biden could still run it up and still get a significant victory. You know, if he peels off Georgia and then wins Pennsylvania and wins, and then, you know, it looks like it's a fucking massacre after that. But it wasn't the direct rebuke of Donald Trump that everyone, and, you know, this has been talked about and ballyhooed and all of those things like that. You know, you've seen that. So I think that has less to do with the fundamentals of the party and more to do probably with the messaging. And it's going to be up to the Democrats to do a little bit of soul searching to kind of figure out how it is that they connect with people.
The right also doesn't have a problem lying. I mean, they don't. They lie. They just flat out lie. And I'm not saying that on the left they don't, but it just seems to be more in an overt way.
Fuck it. Let's just lie. Fuck it. Just lie.
I'm just saying they lie.
We should run the fucking Cadillac plan. Yo. Straight up, I'm Van Lathan. I'm running for president.
Do we still want Cadillacs? Is that our car of choice?
But it's not. But here's the thing, though. The reason why I would say it's the Cadillac plan.
Okay.
Because you can't really promise a car that's better than a Cadillac. Because that's not going to be it. You know, first of all, the Cadillac is the car that you promise. Okay. Because anything under a Cadillac, nigga going to be like, I don't want a Kia.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going for the Kia plan. You know, they're not going to fuck with that. Like, they're not going to be with that. But like anything over a Cadillac is going to be. It's not realistic. So if you come up there and you say, I'm Van Lathan, I'm running for president, you know what I'm saying? I'm running on the Bentleys and bourbon plan. I'm gonna fill your cabinet up with bourbon. I'm gonna fill your fucking driveway up with Bentleys, baby. Everybody gonna get one. Woo! People gonna be like, you can't afford that. You can't do it, Bentley. But see a nice Cadillac with a mid package?
Okay.
You might be able to swing that. You might be able to actually get what, you might be able to, hold on, wait a minute now. He's not saying I'm riding fly, but he is saying I'm going to be riding.
Okay, but then what you going to put with the Cadillac? Because if you said bourbons and Bentleys, what's going with the Cadillac? Cash, Cadillac and cash.
Cadillac and cash.
Cadillac and cognac.
Cadillac and cognac. It's the Cadillac and cognac platform, baby. That's what I'm talking
That's
about.
It.
That's what you just, and when people, ask you, like, how are you going to pay for it? You just go, huh? What? You mean tell me you don't want people to have a Cadillac and cognac? That's un-American. What you mean, how to pay for it? I'm going to pay for it the same way we paid for the fucking rocket ships, man. Get out of my face. You just get super mad every time anyone asks you a substantive question. You know what I mean? You just get super pissed off. Because I think that, you know, we talk about a thing, we use terms like abolish, universal health care. All of that stuff is good, but people don't get that. You know what they get? The vroom vroom.
Cadillac and
vroom
cognac.
Vroom vroom. Cadillac and cognac. Cadillac and cognac.
I like it.
You know what I'm saying? I'm in too. Think about it. Think about if every American got like a bottle of Hennessy VSOP or something like that. And then like a you know, just you get them the two, you get the coupe, the Cadillac coupe. See the little okay. coupe they got
mm-hmm,
with the
mm-hmm.
little triangle fucking, you know what I'm saying? Y'all seen these Cadillacs. Y'all know.
Yes.
It was hot for a second. You know, no power windows though, because we can't afford that. You got to roll the window up. Have you seen a joint like that? I haven't seen a joint like that in so long.
No,
when's the last time
while.
You were in a joint where you have to like
my
physically...
car, my first car. No, my second car might have been like that too.
Yo, if you're listening to this podcast right now and you don't have power windows, send me a DM. I want to know what your life is like.
And say what? Send a picture. No, send. Don't send a DM. Just a DM. Send a video of you
rolling
up the
your
window.
Shit up. Rolling your shit up. I want to know
hashtag
who you are.
Cadillac and cognac, because that they would already be on our team.
Right, right. You know what right. I'm saying? Because really, I haven't seen that. I this just hit me. I haven't rolled a window up manually
since when?
In years.
My high school car
had it. Is that not a thing anymore?
No, it's not a thing anymore. My high school car had it.
What was your first car?
A Honda. A Honda.
What kind of Honda?
It's a two-door Honda.
Mine was a four Taurus, 88, baby.
Mine was what year was it? I graduated in 03. Shoot, I don't even remember. Oh, it was a 97.
Right.
Black.
My first car might as well have been a fucking moving hotel room. Because all we did, stains everywhere. Because all we did, City Park, Olympia Stadium, Baton Rouge. People know Baton Rouge, know
I'm
all
like,
of these
what
places.
Are these places? Okay, this is all in Baton Rouge.
All places you go park.
Okay.
Like all places you go park, and then bam, like right there was this park. When you drive down Plank Road in Baker, you turn off and you drive way down in the super dark. Put on Brian McKnight, never felt this way.
Is that how you used to get them, Van?
Yeah.
Is that what you used to do?
Put on Brian McKnight, never. Boom, got it. And then, I was just like crazy. I'm gonna read a tweet for you right now. This is something, I'm surprising Rach with something, but this is going on right now. This is a tweet. I want you to tell me who said this tweet. Let me get this straight. I get the president of the United States to agree to put $500 billion of capital into the black community without an endorsement. And niggas are mad at me. Three laughing emojis, dot, 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 have a nice life. Who do you think sent that tweet?
Wayne?
No.
So Cube?
Ice Cube. Ice Cube
feels
like
he didn't vote for Trump.
Ice Cube feels like he didn't endorse Trump, but he got the president to put $500 billion of capital into the black community.
Okay, Cube. One, do we believe you?
No,
we don't.
No, it didn't. That never happened.
Which one? Both? Neither one.
There's been no agreement for $500 billion.
That's
for
what I'm saying.
Billion.
Neither one.
Like that has not happened. Like that has not happened. At all. That has not happened. Cube, I suspect what Cube is talking about is the Platinum Plan.
That is what he's talking about.
Right. Which the Platinum Plan hasn't been agreed upon. The Platinum Plan is a plan. And in order for the president to execute the Platinum Plan, it what, number one, Ice Cube didn't get the president to execute the Platinum Plan, even if that were true. The president came up with the Platinum Plan with a bunch of different people before then, or whatever, and the Platinum Plan is bullshit, and there's not $500 billion going into the communities via the Platinum Plan. I would encourage everyone to read the Platinum Plan and see that it's not really worth the paper that it's written on. But what I want to say to Ice Cube is that, look, if you're going to jump into politics, don't jump into it for the love. If you want to be loved, keep making records. That's it.
A very great point.
If you want to be loved, keep making records, keep making movies, keep doing all of that stuff. If you jump into politics and you jump into this, it's not going to come with a basket of roses. You know what I'm saying? It's going to come with a lot of shit.
Huh? Do you think the fact that he is trying to get us to still believe in him and get us to like trying to win people back over that he was what he was doing was the right thing? Do you think that he regrets what he did?
I don't know if he regrets it, but I just think that if you've been in a situation to where popularity has directly influenced how much money you make for 30 years and it's worked for you, it's difficult to be unpopular. You know, nobody, if you're not making people smile and making people dance and making people laugh, then they don't come to you. And so after a while, when you jump into a different arena where people actually have to feel better about their lives based upon what you're saying and you're doing, which is sort of certainly kind of the game that politics is about, you start feeling some of that, you start feeling some of that blowback. You don't want that. He's a celebrity. He's used to being fawned over.
I guess my problem with that tweet is you're missing the point. The point isn't that you sat down on behalf of the Black community and talked to Trump to try to better us. The point isn't that you didn't really endorse him. The point is that you gave people a scapegoat. You gave people an opportunity to use what you did to support Trump, to say, you know what? Ice Cube did it. Ice Cube is willing to sit down and talk to Trump. Ice Cube believes that Trump can get this done. So I'm going to get it done. That's what you gave people the opportunity to do, which is, to me, an endorsement of Trump, because you are believing that he can get something done that the other side can't. I got a problem with that. So to me, you are still missing the point, Cube, with that kind of tweet. And that's what's upsetting to me. You don't get that what you did was detrimental and it was damaging and it was in benefit for the other side.
Well, it definitely was a benefit for the other side. I think what Cube would tell you would be that, I know what he would say. He'd say that, number one, he wanted a one-on-one with Kamala Harris, but he couldn't get the one-on-one with Kamala Harris. By the way, he also didn't get a one-on-one with Mike Pence. What Cube got was a meeting with Jared Kushner. So he didn't talk to the president or the vice president. On the other side of things, there was apparently a Zoom where it was going to be Cube and 11 other guys that were going to be on Zoom.
Yeah, didn't D.L. Hughley come out and say something about this?
Yeah, well, Cube said he didn't want to be on that because he wanted some one-on-one time with Harris and to talk about, you know, his plan more in depth. And that's fair that he would have that demand, but it's also fair that they wouldn't do it. You know, they're politicians. I'm sure there's a lot of people that want one-on-one time with Cube to sit down and play a record for them. And that would change their lives, but you can't always get what you want. That's the way that goes. Look, I think what Ice Cube is doing, I think Ice Cube is trying to help. I sincerely do. A lot of people look at Ice Cube as some sort of MAGA Trojan horse. I don't think he's that.
No. I just think what he did didn't help.
I just think he's, you know, he's learning kind of what comes along with this particular game. And it this is what comes with that. You know what I'm saying? This is what comes with that particular game. And
don't
complain about it. You want to jump in there? You want to go talk to Trump? Look, Alicia Garza told Ice Cube that there are angry Trump supporters that are on her lawn, that are threatening her, that Trump is empowering. If you decide to go sit down with that, then you had better get what the fuck you asking for.
Right.
And by the way, it better be, because when a sister like that tells me that these are the people that are putting her safety in jeopardy, and then you go speak to them, it's going to be people who don't fucking like that. And if you feel like it's important enough to do it, you got to fucking deal with that.
Right.
But you guys, like a quick minor update from a couple states.
Yeah, give me some minor updates.
The Arizona Secretary of State is on CNN right now at 1:46 Pacific time, saying that at 7 p.m. Pacific time, there will be a dump of around 140,000 votes from Maricopa County. So no real numbers update, but we will have more information later today as well. She said it's going to be the same time on Friday. And then
Maricopa
in Nevada, according to a couple of Bloomberg reporters on Twitter, Emma Kinnery and Stephen Dennis, this was about 20 minutes ago, about 1:30 Pacific time. They said the Nevada Secretary of State says there are approximately 190,150 ballots left to count, 90% of which are from heavily Democratic Clark County, to which Nate Silver's quote tweeted, again, much maligned Nate Silver, but Nate Silver said, if 90% of the ballots are from Clark County, there's no reason not to call Nevada.
Interesting. So there you hear it. There you have it. Rach, how disappointed are you right now that we're not doing a Bachelor recap?
I think it's very obvious, Van, that you are now regarded higher than I am in the Bachelor community. So I think I would say you're more upset about it than I am.
Yeah. No Bachelorette recap this time. We're going to do it Monday.
Yes, I will tell you that I have seen the episode. And this is what I'm curious for. And for the newbie, for my new batchy here. You are seeing a season like you've never seen before. Mm-hmm. When it switches, you're going to see a more traditional Bachelorette season. And I'm curious if you'll like it.
Interesting.
We shall see.
Right. Like, kind of like people who, like, I know some people that started watching bubble basketball.
I'm sorry, what? What is
bubble
that?
Bubble basketball, the NBA. People started watching bubble basketball.
Oh, okay, okay.
And they're like, yo,
this
man.
This is a new game.
Yeah, they're like, yo, man, like, I fuck with the bubble more because it looks like it looks different and stuff like that. And I'm like, first of all, you're stupid. But secondly, when it goes back to, when you tell me you're not going to like it when they go back to playing at the Staples Center?
Right.
Yeah, you're
with
a weirdo.
With fans? Come on now. You can't beat that.
Okay, well, we will have the Bachelor update Monday. Maybe. Because I got to admit, like, there's a lot of shit going on, man. we'll have it for you next podcast. But I'm definitely excited to watch tonight. I'm probably going to watch it in my new hammock that I got out there in the back.
Look, do y'all notice that he's stunned on y'all every single episode? He's telling you, like, if you watch us, you see he's got the plant now. He's talking Oscar. About, you done dropped it. You know, you were like, I got 3 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms. I got the hammock. He lives in Beverly Hills, y'all. Life is good for Van. Life is good for Van.
Oscar
would be the plant, you guys.
Oscar got like a couple of brown leaves. I gotta do something about Oscar, man.
Do you water
yeah,
Oscar? Do you cut his leaves and trim
Oscar,
them?
Man. I water Oscar all
you have
the
to
time.
Cut, you have to cut the leaves from time to time.
For real?
Mm-hmm. Like not the whole thing, but at the tips of some of these, you would cut that.
Cut this
like
tip.
Not straight, you cut it at a diagonal, okay?
Why?
Keep the shape of the plant.
Why do you cut it though? I don't want to hurt it.
Well, it's brown. That's dead. That's not coming back.
This
that
piece
ain't
right here?
Come back. There ain't enough water to make that come back.
What got to do to, I mean, he's still mostly green, but when I bought him, he was all the way green. And I'm not going to lie, my G got a couple of.
You might need to give him some sun. Have you been giving him some sun?
No, he doesn't get it. He's an inside plant. He's a house plant.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
Actually, please don't listen to me when it comes to plants.
I'm going to figure out. Well, Oscar, we're going to get it, bro. Don't worry about Rach. Mailbag time. It's time for mailbag time. But before we get to the mailbag, let's take a slight pause. Mailbag, Jordan, hit us with the first question.
Okay, a very important question from Galena Bennett. Does a straw have one hole or two?
I feel like this is a trick question.
My nerves already bad, Galena Bennett, and you hit me with
the does straw. Galena have the answer, or does she just ask the question?
This is the type of shit people ask you, and they fuck with you with questions like this. I don't like questions like this.
Okay, well, my answer is two.
Two. I think it's two, too. I think it's two holes.
Like, I'm not going to say that because you can see the other end, like, it's one hole. No, like, there's two entryways. It's two holes.
This reminds me of another question. I want to ask you this question.
Oh no.
Can I ask you it? Seriously. Is this question, I read this in a book. I can't remember the book. I think it was one of Malcolm Gladwell's books. Shout out to Malcolm Gladwell. It's a book that, like, it's a question that supposedly they ask you when you're trying to get a job at Google. I have not verified this.
Okay.
To see if you're smart enough to work at Google. Do you want to know whether or not you're smart enough to work at Google, Rachel Lindsay?
Yes.
Why are manhole covers round?
Why does it matter?
I'm asking you.
What other shape are they supposed to be in?
But why? But no, there's a reason why they're round. Why are manhole covers round? Basic question of very basic, like engineering and problem solving and stuff. Is what they say. I did not get this question when it was asked.
I have no idea. So you can fit through it?
No, actually, it's not actually not. It's actually not, so that a circle cannot fall into a circle. So if it were any other shape, the manhole cover could fall inside of the manhole.
Oh, wow.
Right. So a manhole cover is round. A manhole is round because whatever happens,
right,
it can't fall in.
But a square,
it could move the angles, it could fall in.
I never took an engineering class.
And so that, like, that's the thing, right? They figure you should know why that is. And I'm like, and I remember I asked, shout out to Walter Gino McLaughlin. And I remember I asked him this question like a long time ago. And he was like, I don't know. That don't mean I can't work at Google. And I'm like, nah, nigga, you can't work at Google. Bro, like, seriously, go to Dillard's. They're hiring. But Google is out. Okay? I'm all Louisiana.
Did he try?
He spent 3 days designing a square manhole cover. That could,
I like
no
Walter.
Bullshit.
I like
he drew a manhole cover that was square, and he was putting an extra piece in there. I'm like, but bro, the extra piece doesn't make any sense, because if you have to put an extra piece, then that means every manhole cover you have to build an extra piece, and that's expensive and all that. But no, it could work. And I'm like, you're missing the point at all.
Walter would get the job simply because of that. He comes back 3 days later. He comes back.
Walter is one of the most respected community activists in all of Baton Rouge. He is a real, real important guy down there in Baton Rouge. That's my man, Walter Gino McLaughlin. That's like my brother. That's my guy. Okay, next question.
From Joanna Zaldivar. Do you think it's acceptable to start decorating for Christmas in early November, or should you wait until after Thanksgiving?
I don't fucking care.
I would say, well, I'll answer. I would say wait. I hate when people jump. I hate walking to a store. It's the day after Halloween. And now these days you see Christmas stuff. I don't like that. But this year we can use all the good cheer that we can get. So I am more than happy to start playing Christmas records and looking at Christmas trees and candy canes and all of that stuff that comes with it. So have at it this year.
What's going to happen this Christmas when Santa gets COVID?
But why would you put that on Santa? Santa's magical. Like Santa's invincible. Santa is immune.
Santa got pre-existing conditions.
Why, Van?
Because he overweight as hell.
Okay, but he's also Santa, he also flies. He also flies.
You know Santa got high blood
pressure. You can't put those limitations. You cannot put these type of limitations on Santa. He's not a regular human being.
Out the ass. By the way, poor diet. poor diet. All they eating up there is fucking gingerbread and candy canes.
Because he can.
And all of that stuff. And cookies and milk. You leaving out cookies and milk? I'm telling you, by the way, he lives in a non-temperate climate.
He's magical. Like, okay? He's not a human. You cannot compare him to the next overweight human being, okay?
I'm telling you, Santa got mad pre-existing conditions.
Santa will be fine. Kids, Santa will be fine.
I'm telling you, Santa, I'm not going to lie, Santa should deliver the presents virtual. No bullshit. No bullshit. Santa should deliver the presents.
That's
virtual.
Actually not a bad idea.
Santa got pre-existing conditions. And by the way, it's not like Santa can choose the different places that he go. He got to go into COVID hotspots. Santa got to go to Atlanta. Santa got to go to South Dakota. It's impossible that Santa doesn't get COVID.
Is Santa magical to you? Is he invincible?
I mean, he's got... No. But see, you're missing the point. He's not invincible. He's got magical shit that assists him.
So couldn't he just shoo away COVID?
No, I don't think he can.
So you're putting limitations on Santa? Not my Santa.
I don't think he can.
My Santa is immune.
I don't, I don't think he can. I don't think he can. I think that Santa, I really don't. I think that Santa has magical shit that helps him fly around. But I think Santa's more like a regular dude. I think if you bust Santa in his head with that motherfucking chopper, I think he'll die.
I'm going to tell you something. I said, I'm going to be honest with you. That's what you say. And somebody wrote me and said that they wish that you would stop saying that. So, no, I'm going to be honest with you, man.
Right.
You're on the naughty list simply because you put that on Santa. Santa will not be visiting your household.
It's good. That's good. Because I hope because he stays in quarantine. Right? That's good. I don't want to expose Santa to me. Santa got pre-existing conditions. All right. Last question, Jordan.
From Nicole Sudler, what's your favorite hometown place to eat that you miss while living in LA?
Ooh, good question.
This is easy for me. They closed down all the Black Eyed Peas. Okay, that's my favorite place to eat.
God damn, you of all the Jesus Christ. That is the most basic fucking thing I've ever heard before in my life. Yeah, I hope y'all, if y'all not from the South, y'all don't know what the Black Eyed Peas is. That is so fucking basic. God,
it's one step above a cafeteria. But listen,
it's like Piccadilly. Like, it's like,
I love Piccadilly's.
Oh my God.
And I'm gonna tell you why. For all those folks in the South that know what I'm talking about with the Black Eyed Peas and Piccadilly, it is so nostalgic for me because we used to go to Black Eyed Peas after church all the time. It was like our Sunday meal. I ordered the same thing. Christ. The grilled pork chops with the corn and green beans, and you can't beat those rolls. Piccadilly's reminds me of my grandmother. My grandmother loves her a good cafeteria. So I will run down to Piccadilly's to get her some food. So I just, there's something that just reminds me of home when it comes to those places. And I see you nodding your head, man. You understand the logic behind it now.
Look, I'm going to be real with you. I'm not saying that these places aren't good. Like, I mean, I fuck with Piccadilly. Me and my grandpa used to go to Piccadilly. And I remember one time my grandpa... My grandpa went to Piccadilly with my grandpa, and all I got was fried chicken and French fries. I sat down, and he took my plate. He was like, "Now you go get something green, now, fat boy." I was like, "What?" He was the first adult to ever call me fat. Like, he goes, "You go get you something green, now, fat boy. Go get you something green. You ain't with your mom."
Man, what you do?
I went and got some goddamn spinach. You ain't with your mama now. Your mama lets you eat whatever you want to eat. You get that goddamn big as a house. Go get you something green.
I mean, my grandfather would say the same thing.
Go get you something green. Go ahead. God damn it. And I went there. I went and got some spinach. I came back. He said, now eat that. Eat that and see if you still want all of this. And I'm like, that's what I'm telling you.
I'm about to cry. What's your favorite place to eat?
He literally, when I say I sat down, I had like, I had like a bunch of chicken and some French fries, like the crinkle fries. And he literally, this was on Government Street, the Piccadilly off Government, like right near Baton Rouge High. And he grabbed the tray and pulled the tray over. Like, slid the tray over. Go get some. He's like, you're not about to do this around me. Go get you something green. I'm like, God damn, Papa. He was mad about it. I think he was taking my weight personally. But no, Piccadilly and Black Eyed Peas was good.
They closed them all down. Me, in Louisiana.
Oh, by the way, it's a place in Dallas that I like.
What's it called?
I don't know if you know it. It's called Catfish Floyd's. You ever been there?
I don't like that you did me like that. Like, I'm from Oak Cliff. So, I believe Floyd's is, am I thinking of the right place?
Catfish Floyd's, yeah, really good.
No, there might be another catfish place I'm thinking of. Anyways, yes, I know what you're talking about, but I'm thinking of another one too. Anyways, yes, in my adult life though, I would say Papado's, I miss that.
Oh, Papado's is good.
Yeah, and Rudy's. For not the place where you stop because you're getting gas, Rudy's. Chicken, and people know what I'm talking about in Oak Cliff.
Yeah, we lived in Dallas for like, I never told you this. We lived in DeSoto for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
We lived in DeSoto for a little while. So like, my dad used to go, I'm going to Catfish Floyd's. And he'd go there and get some catfish. Still some of the best fried catfish I ever had. I don't know if it's still open down there in Dallas. Catfish Floyd's.
There's another place. If you're ever in Dallas, I'll give
it. Loved it. But no, in Louisiana, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana Land Yap, Mike Anderson's, the Silver Moon Cafe, Delpit's Chicken Shack, Snowflakes Barbecue, fucking Copeland's, Ralph and Cacu's.
I've never heard of them.
Yeah, they're all like, you'd hear of a lot of them in Louisiana, but like all of those joints like that, man, you go and get some of the most incredible food. The Chimes, even though the Chimes is a little fancier, but Tony's. If you are ever in Baton Rouge.
You done named every restaurant in Baton Rouge. I just want you to know.
Right. If you are ever in Baton Rouge, I'm telling you guys, Tony's Seafood, Plank Row. If you are ever in Baton Rouge, they actually have there at Tony's, they have a big fucking like thing where they actually catch the catfish out of it. It's like a big catfish tank. And you see the catfish in there, and the guys are putting the catfish in there, and
they do that at Papados too. I'm sorry, I'm still laughing.
Okay, now take the shit too far. It's a stressful childhood memory, Rich. Okay,
I can only imagine how triggering that was for you.
The thing about it was that, kids call you fat, right? And then adults tell you, well, don't worry about what the kids say. It didn't really become real until an adult acknowledged that there was an issue.
Nothing you could say.
Right.
Nothing you could do but get up and get spinach.
Yeah, an adult told me, like, no. And my mom would always say, hey, he's an active kid, whatever, he'll be fine or whatever. It wasn't a big deal. But my papa, Quentin Ellis, he had enough. He's I'm sick of this shit. Now, unexpected ally of the week. Do you have an unexpected ally of the week?
Yes, I do. I was looking for the article, but I'll just say it. Mine is Mark Cuban.
Oh, wow. What a fucking great one, man.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but one of his former players, who really only played a year, Delonte West, has really been struggling with addiction. And he hasn't been working. And so I don't know if people brought it to Mark's attention, whatever it is, he's been trying for a while behind the scenes to reach out to his family and really get Delonte West into rehab. He was able to do that a little bit ago. And he recently posted a picture about his progress and he looks incredible, Delonte. And he really looks like he's been, he's having a successful run through rehab and really seems like he's getting his life back on track. So shout out to Mark Cuban, because a lot of times you see these owners and their athletes are nothing but, you know, a pawn for them. They are just there to make them money. And when you're done, the next one comes in and there's nothing attached to it. So to see an owner put that type of effort in when they absolutely don't have to, is really a beautiful thing to see. And I hope to see more of it. So shout out to Mark Cuban for that.
Oh, what a fantastic. And they're like kayaking and he's getting Delonte out into nature and all of that stuff. Delonte West is a player who, like you said, only played with Mark Cuban for a little while, but had a pretty decent NBA career. And he had been very open about the struggles that he was having with his mental health. But when people saw how far it had gone to where he was basically living on the streets, you just wonder, you know, how that could happen to a guy who had so much. And so it's always good, whether or not you're in the NBA or not, to know that there are people that will come by and, you know, pick you up when you're down a little bit. So shout out to Mark Cuban for sure. That's amazing. Mine is Fox News.
Okay. Do you know I thought about this?
Yeah.
This was a thought, but go ahead.
Let me tell you how fucked 2020 is. 2020 is so fucked that I am in a position that I've actually never been in my life. And that is the position of hoping that Fox News is right. Fox News called Arizona on Tuesday night. We went over to Tommy's house. It was terrible. But the one thing that did happen that night that, you know, gave us some hope was that Fox News called Arizona. The AP followed with calling Arizona. But do you know how weird it is for me to have to hope that the Fox News decision desk, which Megyn Kelly said is bulletproof, is correct in calling that state for Biden? Because if Arizona is for Biden, and you can lean on that, Nevada is going to go for Biden, and there's 270. There's 270 right there. So for me to be in this situation, to have to be on the side of Fox News just shows you how fucking wacky the time is that we are living in right now. And it is as wacky as it gets.
Couldn't agree with you more. So that means when they call Nevada, that Fox News will be the first one to say Biden wins the presidency.
Yeah, I mean,
they'll be the first.
Some people are saying that will Fox News be so quick to call Nevada? Because if they do call Nevada, which a lot of people are saying you could almost call Nevada now, if they do call Nevada, then Fox News has to be the first one to say it. So they might drag their feet, but you're absolutely right.
We shall see.
Thought Warriors, you can take your thinking caps off, but do not stop learning. We'll say this, learn as much as you can, get as much information as you can, but also self-care, guys. Take a little time, take a walk around the block, pet your dog, make love to your spouse, do whatever it is you got to do. Take a swim. Don't overwork your spirit and your brain. However, we still need you to be engaged, so keep learning. I'm Van Lake.
I'm Rachel Lindsay, and I love how you started off this podcast, so I would love to end this podcast that way. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, take a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thought Warriors, have a fantastic weekend. We hope to have better news for you when we talk to you guys again on Tuesday.
Peace.